This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand.
Live Off the Record with Shivalga Lang is sponsored by Keystone Solutions, RF Bank and Trust, Burger King, Cable Bahamas, Rev Trio, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivalga Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well today. If you want to give us a call at all, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way I imagine my mother's listening to us right now. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow, channel 612. That's BTC Flow, channel 612. Today, we are going to, in this first half of the show, continue our information being provided to our young graduates coming out of high school this year and preparing for their adult transition. I warned you and told you that that's what's going to happen. And then in the second hour, we're going to talk about some things in the current. I know that, big news at Lattice laying off some folks, making them redundant, hundreds of folks. And that's big news, not quite surprising. Quite frankly, to me, but I'll talk about that a little later on in the second hour. Our show today is title sponsored by Onyx Partners and Keystone Solutions. Onyx Partners, offering personalized fiduciary solutions and value-driven relationships. And we're so delighted that they are able to title sponsor us today. And so, guess who's the guest speaker, on the show today? I am talking about something that I have delighted to talk about and have done in so many seminars for companies and for organizations and for youth groups and young people over the years, because it is something about which I believe fundamentally as a means of achieving and promoting and facilitating success in adult life. And quite frankly, it is something that is far too often overlooked in our environment. Too often we take for granted just how important it is, and it is communication. Communication. Yesterday, when we were talking to Dr. Pamela Mills and Mr. Edison Sumner, they both highlighted the importance in relationships of communication. And since for much of our time, as young people or as adults, we are going to be interacting with other people, and we're going to be socializing with other people, communication becomes a huge issue for the quality of those relationships. Now, as strange, as significant as communication is, when I do seminars, I ask very often, how many of you have any ever taken any formal instruction, study, or training in communication? And invariably, less than 10% of the people in those groups have done anything along those lines. Now, notwithstanding, we all in high school do English language. We learn grammar and we learn literature. We learn essay writing. And yes, we learn a bit of, letter writing and what have you, that is a part of communication. The fact of the matter is, in our education system, teaching communication does not happen to any serious degree. Now, that's peculiar given this fact, that we spend, according to research done by Adler and Proctor, we spend as much as 70% of our time communicating. 70% of our waking life, we spend communicating. Notwithstanding that, though, we don't really, in our education system, even in our parenting systems, teach communication. We assume that in the schools, we're going to teach you how to make your subject verbs agree. We're going to teach you the rules of phonetics. We're going to teach you the rules of grammar. We're going to teach you some literature to expand your appreciation of writing and reading and all these kinds of things. But we don't teach what is communication, how to communicate, what makes communication effective, what makes communication ineffective. We don't do it. And then you go on the job and they will train you for many things on that job. They'll train you for the technical skills that you need to do your work, etc. But they don't also train for communication. And then we wonder why we can end up with so much miscommunication, poor communication, no communication, inadequate communication in our circumstances. We wonder why in our governments, in our private organizations, we can have such failure of communication. Well, why wouldn't we have failure? We don't teach it. We don't train in it. And so we are in our personal relationships, we are just winging communication. We get married to people who, quite frankly, generally speaking, you haven't known for much of your life before you married them, you know. And so you are on a journey of knowing you can't communicate, they can't communicate, and we wonder why we have challenges. Then we go to work. We have these strangers among us that we just joined and plopped in. Can't communicate. And just because you ain't rowing with somebody and just because you don't have a conflict with somebody doesn't mean you're effectively communicating with them either. And so we have many issues that trouble us because of poor communication. We have young men and young women, and not so young men and not so young women, who in life is stifled by the fact that they don't have the knowledge or tools for effective communication. It's reality. That's true. That they could have been further, could have done more, could have realized more for themselves, even eliminate the frustration of not having realized more, because they have not the knowledge nor the tools for effective communication. Now, let me be clear. It is impossible in the period of time that I'm going to take today to run through some of the fundamentals of effective communication to give anybody an effective communication equipment today. can't do that. But it's guidance. It's like everything else we've done this week and last week. It's guidance to tell you how important a thing is, what are some of the fundamentals of it, but go get yourself more information. Go get yourself more training. Those of you who like to read, you watch YouTube and read online and stuff, man, listen, there's lots of material that can be used in this regard, okay? And so what I want to talk to the these graduates, young people graduating, and your parents and guardians and all of us about is effective communication. Right? Because once you're committed to effective communication, really, you're committed to succeeding as a person. Right? So we're told, like I said before by some research, that we spend about 70% of our time communicating and about 30% of the time not communicating. And that's probably when you sleep. Right? Of the 70% communicating, guess what that communication is dominated by? 45% of it is dominated by listening. Okay. Oh, I didn't even know listening was a part of communication. Welcome to communication. Welcome to effective communication. 45% is spent listening. 30% is spent speaking. 16% is spent reading. And 9% of it is spent writing. Okay. So most of our communication is listening, and yet we do not get much training, study, or instruction in listening. That's why many of us can't do it well. We can't do it well. We think hearing and listening are not the same thing. Hearing, as long as your the mechanisms of your ear are working, your auditory functions are working, you have to hear. If there's noise, you're going to hear, because that's the purpose of the ear and its parts. It is to capture sound vibrations in the atmosphere and to send messages to your brain as to what those vibrations are. So as long as your auditory functions are working, you're going to hear. But doesn't mean you're listening. Listening is an entirely different thing, as we will come to discover. And then we speak. Again, lots of times we're not taught how to speak, because being able to orally vocalize words and sounds is speaking in a way, but it doesn't mean you are speaking for communication effect. And of course, we read and we write, which is what school concentrates on. So school concentrates on the 25% of communicating and leaves the 75% out. Come on. We are also told that up to as much as 85% of success in life and in the workplace is a function of emotional intelligence as opposed to academic intelligence. Emotional intelligence being the way you can deal with yourself, the way you deal with other people. Academic intelligence is that, you know, science, math, geography stuff that we learn, algebra and all that kind of stuff. But that accounts for, we are told, less than 20% of success in life. The rest of it, the bulk of it, is how you manage yourself and how you manage your relationship with other people. Well, a big part of that is communicating. And again, we don't teach for emotional intelligence in our school systems per se, not as keenly as may be required to improve quotient of people in that area. And so maybe that's part of why we don't experience as much as we would like to experience in our workplace, careers, and social functioning. All right. So what is communication? Actually, communication consists of three parts. One, there is a sender of information. Okay. There is a receiver of information. And in the middle, there is a channel of information. Okay? So the sender of the information could be a human being, and the receiver could be a human being, and in the middle could be either a vocalizing or a gesturing or a writing or something else, okay? But they don't have to be humans. For instance, you can have a computer send information to another computer by way of the internet, and that's communication as well. You can have a vehicle that goes from one place to another place by way of a road. You can have an airplane fly from one destination to another destination by way of air. That's also communication, right? It's a form of it because you have a sender, receiver, and a channel by which that happens. And so those are the three basic parts. Who's the sender? Who's the receiver? And what is the channel being used to convey whatever there is being conveyed? And so what then is effective communication, right? What is effective communication? To understand it properly, to get it properly, to get this definition properly, it's important to understand that, listen to me, you ask a woman. I'm saying this because women have a greater tendency to be in touch with their needs than us guys tend to have. That doesn't mean we don't, but they do. You ask a woman what is something that she most wants from the people with whom she's interacting, especially the people who she loves, right? Or it's an intimate relationship with. And she will say understanding. Understanding. But this isn't just a female need. It is the great human need. Human beings want to be understood. In other words, they want you to see what they see, to feel what they feel, to understand the meaning of their conveying. They want to be understood. They want there to be in your head clarity about what is in their heads. Because in that understanding, a connection is made that says, I matter, I belong, you get me, you see me. So understanding is the great human need. And at the center of communication is understanding. Understanding for the conveyor of the information and understanding for the receiver of the information. So effective communication is listening to understand. That's the start of it. Listening so that to understand, and then speaking to be understood. So this is a kind of intimate dance between two people in which the one is listening to the listening, getting the actual meaning and sense of what the person is conveying, and then being able to communicate or articulate back to that person in a way where that person understands. And when that happens, man, we feel a connection that said, boom, we could do anything when it's like that. We can go anywhere when it's like that. How can two walk together except they be agreed? How can they agree except they understand? And so once that understanding takes place and that connection takes place, man, listen, it's like being, in quote, in love. It's like when partners get each other, I'm talking about even in business or on a team, when they get each other, man, that flow happens and boom, they can achieve anything. What's effective communication? Listening to understand and speaking to be understood. That's effective communication. So it means that effective communication, young folk, your parents, your guardians, all of us, begins with listening. Is there any wonder that we have two ears and one mouth? Maybe so we could listen, as some people say, twice as much as we speak. Okay? You have to be able to listen. And in fact, in point of fact, says Brian McGill, he says, you know, one of the most sincere forms of respect is actually listening to what another has to say. And I can tell you in my lifetime, I've been entirely disrespectful on occasions because I wasn't listening. And you'll see that it wasn't merely a question of my speaking while somebody else was speaking, because sometimes it wasn't that. It was sometimes my preparing to speak while somebody else was speaking. So I wasn't listening to them so that I could understand them. But if for somebody else, says Brian McGill, he says, listen to them. Listen to them. Okay? And so we want to be able to listen. How can we listen effectively to other people is then the question. What is effective listening? How do I know when I am effectively listening to the person speaking to me, my wife, my husband, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my boss, my co-worker, my church colleague, my brother and sister? How do I know when I am effectively listening? Anybody want to text me and venture some thoughts on it? Or I ain't got that much time today. Well, if you're going to effectively listen to somebody, the first thing you have to do is be present. You say, but I am here. The person is there. How could I not be present? I'm physically present. Yeah, you might be physically present, but lots of times when we are with people, we are not present. Here's what presence means. Present means that I am not thinking about the past. I am not thinking about the future, what I would like to do, what I hope to do, what I hope would happen. I am actually right here in this present moment, in this right now moment, and the only focus of my mental faculties is this individual with whom I am now having a conversation. And when my mind strays into the future, strays into the past, I'm going to bring it right back here, because right this very moment is the most important moment of all, right now, right here. If I could be in any other moment, I would have been. But I am here now, and I'm going to be fully here right now. I'm not going to be gazing past the person or looking at the trees, checking out some girl or checking out some guy. I'm going to be right here with you, my colleague, with you, my wife, with you, my husband, with you, my boyfriend, with you, my girlfriend. I'm going to be right here with you, my boss, my coworker, my teammate. I'm going to be right here with you, fully seeking to listen to you so that I can understand you. Effective listening requires being present. That's the first thing. And if you're then being present, you want to be attentive. So you're in the now, you want to be attentive in the now. I'm listening to your words. I'm attending to not just your words, but I'm attending to the totality of your being. And you'll understand that later on, why I say you listen and you're paying attention to the totality of somebody's being as you are effectively listening to them. Effective listening is active listening. What is active listening? Active listening means that I am acknowledging as somebody says something to me, what they say. So if they say to me something that requires a response like yes or no, I'm going to acknowledge that and say yes or no because I'm actively listening. You know how sometimes you're talking to people and then you ask them a question and they say something that clearly shows you that they were not listening to you? Well, active listeners won't do that because they're so attentive that whatever you are saying requiring a response, they will give you one, okay? We say actively. They might even stop you and say, you know what? Can you repeat that for me? Because I missed that. That's active listening. Effective listeners are responsive, right? Providing you with answers or seeking clarification or in doing, following an instruction given, because they are responsibly listening and effectively listening. Effective listening is patient listening, right? Meaning, I have got to respect you long enough, regard you long enough to let you have your entire say. I have got to not jump in there as I sometimes like to do. Jump in, that's, I'm confessing to it. It's a process. You jump in there and respond right away. Of course, now when you have some time constraints, you can't really let people go on and on and on, because some people, that's, they will do that. That's not good either, because the result, the aim of effective communication is to achieve a result. And if the result involves other people and they're having time to be able to participate, you can't have any one person dominate. You can be in a conversation with somebody and they are having a ball talking. That can't be right. Right? Each person has to be a participant in the discourse. Right? And you can't be just getting your jollies off talking and the other person has no opportunity also to share. All right. So, but you have to be patient enough to give people sufficient time to lay out their thoughts. So effective listening requires patience. Effective listening is open-minded. Now, here is an area where some of us can be confused, because we have some strong beliefs about life, especially the rigid ones. And we almost feel as if I open my mind to what you say, then you are going to dislodge me from my belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or you're going to dislodge me from my belief in the PLP or the FNM or the DNA. Open-mindedness has nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that. Open-mindedness merely is a willingness to give a full hearing to someone else's thoughts with a view to understanding what they are seeking to convey. But if your mind is closed, you have no willingness to hear. And so all you're going to do is row and row and row before you even hear. And so open-mindedness says, okay, I'm willing to sit and listen. I'm prepared to see if there's any substance or truth or facts or evidence in, or any you have to say, I'm prepared to do that. When I went to university in Canada, I was at the height of what was then for me, I would say a dogmatic view of Christianity. Dogmatic. Man, listen, I won't pounce on you if you come close to talking to me, but anything other than the Judeo-Christian faith that I have. But then I signed up for an elective called the Great Philosophers. And so to my mind, I would be studying Kant and Aristotle and Socrates and Euripides and all these great philosophers. But the truth of the matter is they only studied one great philosopher a semester. And that semester, it was Gautam. In other words, the course I signed up for was a Buddhist course. Now, I ain't gonna lie to you. I was apprehensive about that. I was. Because I'm a staunch Christian. What am I gonna be sitting down in any Buddhist course? And in this course, they actually gave you opportunities to meditate. It was voluntary, but you could actually do some meditation. Well, anyways, I said, you know what? For some reason, I said, you know what? Give it a shot, man. What you can, you could learn. In other words, I had an open mind. In that instance, for some reason, I don't. You know what? It was one of the most fulfilling courses I took. I was the top student in the course. I didn't do any meditations. In retrospect, I would have done some. But I didn't then. To this day, I remember the lessons I learned in that course. So effective listening requires open-mindedness. Effective listening requires being empathetic. What is empathetic? Empathetic is like empathy, right? Is to actually walk in another person's suffering, is what it's like. It's to walk in another person's feelings. So when you are listening effectively, even if you disagree with somebody, if you can come to at least feel why they feel the way they feel and how they have come to feel that way, then you are doing effective listening. And that's what we call empathy, to suffer with, to feel the pains of. And far too many of us don't know how to do that, right? Effective listening is humble, right? Humble listening. It is really understanding that it is possible in the environment in which I find myself that there is someone who knows more than I know about a thing about which we are conversing. It may well even be that while I may have great knowledge in something, in respect of a particular issue being discussed, somebody may have more knowledge, and I'm willing to accede to that knowledge that they have, right? Effective listening is also kind, meaning I want to give of you something good in this discourse, and I am willing by way of my own generosity to receive from you that which you seek to convey to me. It is a kindness that I am showing you in all that. So present, attentive, active, responsive, patient, open-minded, empathetic, humble, kind listening is effective listening. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion on effective communication. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand.
You work hard. Shouldn't your money be working hard too? RF Mutual Funds are designed to put your money to work with some of the best performing investment funds in the market and a range of funds to suit your unique needs and risk tolerance. So when you're hard at work, you can be confident your money is too. Put your money to work with RF Mutual Funds. Call us at 603-6000 or visit rfgroup.com to learn more. RF, money at work.
Basketball is back, baby, and so is NBA League Pass. Only with Rev Trio. Sign up for Rev Trio today and enjoy NBA League Pass absolutely free, along with incredible prizes, including a brand new 50-inch smart TV, NBA gear, and more.
With tons of prizes and gear, signing up for Trio is the best on and off court move this year. Just call 601-8992 or visit www.rev.bs/promotions/trio.
Sign up for Rev Trio today and enjoy NBA League Pass absolutely free.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Mo's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pulled up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep, sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
You gotta go to...
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, where our show today is sponsored by Onyx Partners, offering personalized fiduciary solutions and value-driven relationships. We're so glad you could join, trying to provide some information to our young people graduating this year. Wow, any of you who can remember when you were arriving at that point of graduation. I know some of them are preparing for exams or sitting exams now, but preparing for that graduation, it was an exciting time. I mean, some people, my understanding is really just leaving school, not graduating as such. But in any event, just looking forward to transitioning into that new stage of life, which is an emerging full-blown adulthood. And we're trying to provide information. And one of the pieces of information we're trying to provide to them today is the importance of effective communication, of being able to listen to, understand, and speak to be understood. And so we talked about, first of all, how important listening is in that regard and what effective listening means, being present, being attentive, being active, being responsive, being patient, being open-minded, being empathetic, being humble. Listen to me, folks. Listen to me. Listen to me. Boy, if we could get 20% improvement on all of our communication, we may get a 60% improvement in our entire society's social outcomes. I believe that. That's how important it is. Anyway, so you patiently, attentively, humbly, open-mindedly listen to your person speaking to you. So if you did that, then you get an understanding. And one of the ways we know, here's how you can know whether or not you get somebody's what somebody's seeking to say. Say it back to them. And if they acknowledge, yes, that's what I mean or what I'm saying, then you got it. So you can say, okay, let me understand this. You are saying to me that if I would do this, then you would do that and you would do it by tomorrow afternoon. And if they say yes, then you can say, okay, good. I understand what they're saying. You can repeat it again, just out of an abundance of caution, and repeat it in a slightly different way, but conveying what you think is the same meaning. And again, if you are able then to get that person's acknowledgement, then you get to confirm your understanding of what they have said. And that's the key. You want to be able to say, yes, I got you, man. I understand. I don't have to disagree. I don't have to agree with you. I don't have to agree with you. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about agreeing with you. I'm talking about understanding the meaning that you sought to convey to me. That's what I want to do. That's the bottom line. Okay, so now you did that. You did that. Now you are going to speak so you could be understood. So it's your time now. Now here is what is true. We speak in two ways. We speak verbally, meaning we sound out. And you know what a word is? A word is a sound that we have assigned, a word is a set of letters that we have combined to convey a meaning. So water is a combination of W-A-T-E and R, that for the English language, in the English language, it's not the same thing in other language. In Spanish is agua, right? But in the English language, when we see those combinations of letters, then we associate it with that liquid, clear, tasteless substance, or sometimes not so tasteless substance, because it could be salt water, that we know that to mean, right? Now, sounds are also manipulations of our vocal cords to produce vibrations that we associate with a certain word and meaning also. So we verbalize, so we sound out words, and then we also have nonverbal ways we speak. And those are the non-speaking ways we speak. And we're going to talk about some of that later on, which can be gestures and the like. We'll talk about some of that because that's very important. Now, here is what the researchers tell us is true about speaking and the ways we speak. Listen to this now, folks. Lean into your radios because this may surprise you. Your speaking is not done mostly in words. Oh my goodness, Lang, what you talking about? No, the reason 55% of our speaking is actually done non-verbally. by body movements, by facial expressions, by arm gestures and other gestures, etc. So 55% of it is by nonverbal means. Listen to this now. 38% of it is by the tone or modulation or pauses and stuff in our voices. We haven't even gotten to the words yet. So basically, somebody is looking at you and listening to you. And before your words tell them anything, your body movement, your tone of your voice, the modulation in your voice, and all of that combined together has provided them with 93% of everything you are going to be communicating to them, speaking to them about. Wow. 7% of our speaking are words. 7%. And if you look, you watch us in the Caribbean and in Latin America, we are gesturing people, boy. We can, your hand and your kimba, your eyes gesturing, and we, and the way we use our voice, and words are a minor part of the way we speak. Body and tone of voice and use of voice and sound is the majority of it. You need to bear that in mind, because if you want to be an effective communicator, you want to be sure to use the things that people look to most, the most effectively, right? So we have our voices, and every single one of us should use it. We should use them. We should use our voices. But recognize that your voice can be a tool for life, or it could be a tool for death. It could be a tool for building up, or it could be a tool for tearing down. It could be a tool for encouraging, or it could be a tool for discouraging. It can be a tool for inspiration, or it can be a tool for expiration. We have a voice, and we should use it with wisdom. And when you're using your voice, there's some things that you want to bear in mind. And I've shared this with you all before, but I'm going to share it again. When you and I are speaking, there are three things that are separate, but try and treat them sometimes as equals, right? These three things are what we observe, what we believe, and then what we feel. So we can observe someone and the way they look to us might appear nonchalant or disinterested. So let me give you an example of something. There was a gentleman riding a train on one occasion, and he had two children with him. And his children were busily playing and making lots of noise in the train, and some of the passengers were getting extremely irritated because this man was paying no attention. He just had this blank look on his face and not paying any attention to them. And passengers were just getting irritated. So they observed a man paying no attention to his noise-making children. And that was their observation. And that observation was true. That was factual. They were making noise and he was not paying attention. They believed this man to be a bad parent who didn't know how to discipline or control based on what they observed. And they then felt angry about it. And at a certain point, a lady couldn't take it anymore. And she shouted at him, "Why don't you keep your children quiet? Why do you not control these children? They are making so much noise." The man humbly said and apologized, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I really am sorry. They just found out that their mother died." And these were young kids, so they didn't really grasp the meaning of that. And then all of a sudden, the mood changed in the whole circumstance. Why? Because what we observe can lead us to believe something, and to feel a way that doesn't necessarily to reveal the truth of the circumstance or situation we're in. So we have to be able to distinguish between what we observe, which could be absolutely true, what we believe, which could be invoked by what we see, but has to be checked against the facts, and how we come to feel about what we believe, because they do not always have to line up. And guess what is true about speaking, effective speaking? Effective speaking is much like effective listening. They have a lot of the same qualities. If you're going to speak effectively, you want to be present, remember, in the now, so that you are fully absorbed in the moment and therefore drawing on words that convey what it is you're seeking to convey in the moment. So you have to be present. You have to be attentive, right? Because in that attention, you are ensuring that you are saying the appropriate thing to the appropriate person on the appropriate occasion. So you want to be attentive. When you're speaking, you want to be honest. Now listen to me. Honest does not mean that what I am saying, someone else is going to like. It doesn't mean that what I am saying represents somebody else's truth. Honesty means it represents my truth. That's what it represents, my truth. I am not my truth as in I'm making reality up, like some people run around talking about, this is a fake and that. No, we ain't talking about that kind of thing. If you are saying to somebody, I am very angry at you, they might not want to hear that, but that's the truth. You are angry, and you ought to be honest in your expressions. Do you understand what they may ask you, do you understand what I'm saying? Not at all. Okay, they might not like that, but that is your honesty. And so effective speaking requires honesty. Thoughtfulness, meaning, you know, before you say it, think about it. Spend some time thinking about, are these the words I want to use? Is this the thing I want to say? You might even consider something the Buddha say. If a thing is true and unhelpful, don't say it. If a thing is not true and helpful, don't say it. If a thing is true and helpful, find the right time to say it. Scripture said life and death is the power of the tongue. A word spoken in season, what does it do? It's health to your bones, right? And so be thoughtful in what you say. Just because you have an impulse to say something doesn't mean you should say it. And it doesn't matter if it's something that you're rowing about, because sometimes that happens when we argue, but it could be just something that you are opining about. Think about it. Also speak clearly, right? You want to be able to ensure that as you speak, that you try to use providing the best meaning to what it is that you are saying, that people don't have to sort through all kinds of rigmaroles just to get to the meaning of what you're saying. You want to be clear. Okay, so sometimes, you know, you ask somebody something and then they say, well, that's not what I recall. Really? You can't be clearer than that. You know, we want to be able to communicate clearly. We want to also be able to speak directly to people, right? What does that mean? If let's say you, young person, want you're out of school now, you want to go out with your friends, your mommy and daddy's car is there and you want to use the car. An indirect way of speaking is to go to mommy and daddy and say, y'all doing anything tonight? What? What y'all doing around 9 o'clock? What? When someone hears that, they hear interrogation. And why are you interrogating me? That doesn't help with effective communication. What you should do is say, listen, mommy, daddy, me and my friends are planning on going out at 9 p.m. tonight. And I would like to use the car to do so. Is that possible? Can anything be misunderstood about that? Can anyone get offended by it? But it's clear and direct what it is that I am seeking to do. Husband and wives, boyfriend and girlfriends do this oftentimes too. Too many times indirect talk. Where you been? Where you was around this time? Listen, you might as well just say, I heard that you were by the ballpark. Is that true? They could say yes or no, right? And so speak directly is a part of effective speaking. And when you speak, be non-accusing. Oh, hallelujah, God. Release us from this spirit. Because we can be that way. We can be accusing, you know, rather than accuse somebody of being hateful, accuse somebody of lying, accuse somebody of being bigoted or being nasty. You can simply say to someone, when you throw your clothes on the ground this way, I really do not appreciate that. Now, they get to then, Mill said to us yesterday, they get to focus on the action that troubles them. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We can take a break for news. When we come back, we continue. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding the lives of family, friends, and neighbors. By knowing what action you should take, you can reduce the effects of a hurricane disaster. Get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, essential supplies, and a lot more before the storm. After to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, and more. The Nassau Guardians Hurricane Guide will help you make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 commercials on Star 106 hits. Contact us today at 302-2300. That's 302-2300 or your account executive. Will you be prepared?
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, where we are dealing with effective communication. Yes, in a continuing series of talks we have to help our young people transition from high school to adulthood. And in fact, to help all of us as we move along our journey. We're sponsored, title sponsored today, by Onyx Partners, a part of the Keystone Group, offering personalized fiduciary solutions and value-driven relationships. We're so glad that you could join us. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I still have some more to give you, So we're talking about speaking effectively. We've listened, so now we're doing this verbally. And we also want, so we said we don't want to be accusing. We want to be present, attentive, honest, thoughtful, clear, and direct. We also want to be humble. Again, you understand what humble means. In this regard, we want our words. We want people to be able to focus on the meaning of what we say as opposed to the attitude per se that they we may be manifesting. And again, we want to be patient, even as we speak. Sometimes it takes a while for people to get the meaning of what we say. Now, again, this is subject to time constraints. You don't always have a lot of time. So maybe you have to say, you know what, can we probably take this up another time, because I really don't have this much, that much time now to deal with this over and repeatedly this way. And then we also want to seek confirmation when we're speaking. What does confirmation mean? Okay. Confirmation means I've spoken, you have listened. Can you now tell me what you understood me to have said? What is it that you understood from what I said? And so when the person repeats it back to you, if it's not what you conveyed, then you can correct it, and you're patient enough to do it until the you arrive at the same meaning. Because, you know, if you are trying to do something together, if you do not come to agreement, there's no way to do it together. I mean, the scriptures tell us that. How can two walk together except they be agreed? And too often times in relationships, even intimate relationships, we aren't even agreed on the basics. We aren't agreed on the basics. We have to be agreed on, do we really believe the same things? And if we don't believe the same things, to what degree do we differ? And that's okay too. You could differ and just agree that on this score, we disagree. But now though, there's clarity about it. So you don't have to be shocked when somebody does something consistent with their belief that you didn't know. But if you know, well, I expect that if I tell you I'm Seventh-day and you say that your Assemblies of God, now they may get married, I don't know. And come Saturday, I go to church, but I've already told you I'm Seventh-day. How can you be shocked? And tell me, well, Saturday mornings I taught people do what? I'm Seventh-day. I go to church, I worship on the Sabbath day. Right? So we want to be able to confirm for each other the meaning of what we are conveying so that we can be agreed on that. So that's your basic speaking. There's lots to involve, but that's your fundamental concept of it. Now remember, I said nonverbal ways, right? So we have many gestures that tell people things that our words may not convey. Or even with silence, we could convey. So if I give you a thumbs up, you will take that as a positive sign or communication that I approve of what you're doing. If I give you a thumbs down without saying a word, you'll get the same notion. If my face is wrinkled up and I have a huge frown, you will know that I am angry or frustrated or upset. If I take my hands and throw them up in the air, you will know I'm frustrated and I'm confused. If I yawn and put my mouth to my hand to my mouth as I'm yawning, you'll say I'm bored. Especially if I do that while you are speaking to me, you'll wonder what's wrong. You know, if my face is gloomy and yet I'm telling you everything is okay, you will say no, that your words may say one thing, but your actions are conveying another thing. And this happens to me and my son, who's 12 years old. When I pick him up from school, you know, sometimes he looks down, he looks energyless. His whole body posture looks like something's wrong. And I'll say, how was school today? Everything okay? Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not convinced, because his body language is telling me one thing and his words are saying another. And so if I probe a little bit more, then I find out, oh, this happened, or he got a bad grade, or he done, you know, so forth and so forth. So we can have many gestures, and they have people who are actually experts in body language, who can, by virtue of the way we gesture, tell many things about us. And the important element there is, we want to make sure that our words, our actions, all our gestures and our tone, all are conveying the same things. If we are angry, let them all convey the same thing. If we are happy, let them all convey the same things. If we understand, let them all convey the same thing. But when we have words and gestures and sounds and tune and pauses communicating something different, people get confused and the effect of our communicating is diminished. So go ahead and learn a lot more about all of these elements for yourself. I just wanted to give you the basics and to stress and emphasize, we have to work on having and using effective communication. Sometimes that communication is private between you and somebody, some individual, or it's public between you and others in the open where others can observe. And some people take that to the point of professional public communication where you get paid to do it, as I have and have done many a times, right? And it is a skill to have, and it doesn't come simply naturally to, like people think, even though you might have a natural predisposition toward it because of your personality. In the course of doing it, you have to learn so many things about how to make your public communication effective. And I've done courses for people in effective public communication, because you have to not only get your words right, your logic right, your reasoning right. You have to decide what tools are best to help you express a thought. What's the environment you're in? What's the audience you have? And so forth and so forth. So there are many things that have to be considered in that. And so again, you young people, you parents, you guardians, you need to encourage your young people. If they go to university, tell them, do some communication courses. I did them. Tell them, go and do it. If you can't, do it online. Do a YouTube something, but learn how to communicate effectively. It will greatly enhance your prospect for success. Most people can't find themselves in leadership without being able to effectively communicate. I'm not saying that all leaders can, but most are not able to do so. And when the ones who can't get there, what happens is they find themselves in some difficulty, because if things get tough, you want to be able to communicate effectively with your people. If a challenger communicate effectively, they meet the challenge. You know, you need to be, even when things are successful, to be able to communicate in a way that causes people to see themselves in that success. And so effective communication is critical, important. I hope and trust that you will pursue it and strengthen your own skills in it. Some of you are too wicked, man. I'm not taking that bait. Okay. I promised you yesterday I would get the facts on the vaccination circumstances of the Bahamas. I heard a little clip just now speaking. Oh, we have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good morning, how are you?
Hey, Anton. How you doing?
I'm fine. Right on time for that topic. That's exactly what I was calling in for. I effectively listened to the news played during your break, and I want to attentively express that I was absolutely correct, just for the record, even though I knew it yesterday. I thought that you knew it and you would have corrected the gentleman who provided that misleading and...
We shouldn't assume. I didn't know. I didn't have the facts. I don't know. Well, I have them now, though.
Wait, well, if I may, Shivago, even on the flip side, right?
Right.
Where I brought to your attention in the text that I sent you, that even when the government receives all of the vaccinations that it has paid for, and inclusive of the 20,000 vaccinations provided free of charge by the Indian government, we would still not have had the capacity to put shots in arms to the tune of what the gentleman was claiming that we had yesterday. And so I'd like for that gentleman, if he has any integrity, any honesty in him, to call back and apologize for providing misleading information to the vehement public.
He can't provide misleading information. He could be sharing what he thinks is the case. But as I indicated on the show yesterday, I would seek to get the facts. That's what I said. So I didn't confirm anything for him, right?
You may have said that, and I understand that. But the tone that gentleman spoke in was one that he was providing facts against what was
being said. Okay, Anton. I don't even think that's heavily important, man. I mean, but I hear you. Okay, I understand. Let me tell you what the facts are from the people who deal with this. This is what they told me.
Okay.
By the end of this month, right. By the end of this month, they would have received 120,000 doses.
Okay.
By the end of this month. They now have 40,000 people that have a single jab.
Well, they said 39 and change.
Listen to me. I'm going to tell you what they told me, Anton. Okay? These are the people who I expect to know. When I called the folks involved, they said, no, this is who you have to speak to. So this is who I spoke to. I'm not now going to amend what they told me. Approximately 40,000 jobs in hand. That's what they told me. Okay? And they said they have 35, that's right, who got the first dose. And then they have 3,500 people with the full dosage. That's what they told me.
So that means Pajo is... Can you hear me, Chivago?
Yeah, I can hear you.
That means Pajo is providing misleading information itself, then.
Well, my brother, I am not going to dispute what Pajo said or what you say or anybody.
With the first and second...
Telling you what I was told by the people who are managing the situation.
Okay, well, hopefully they can correct that loophole. Once again,
120,000 doses would have been received by month's end.
Mm-hmm.
There are approximately 40,000 single jab dose given, and then 3,500 people fully vaccinated.
With full vaccination. Okay, yeah. Well, hopefully they can liaise with who we consider and look to as our medical authority in the region, being Pajo, to ensure...
If I want information about the Bahamas, I'm going to ask Bahamian sources because...
Yeah, I understand that, Tobago. I'm not disputing
that. The United Nations, Pajo, and those get the information we give them. What can happen is you can have information in time. I may have may not be in the same time period as the information they have. And so that is possible.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, I would give way to that because I trust Pajo as a medical organization who we rely on to provide us.
And I trust the source from which I got the information. That would be like me saying if the IMF gave me a labor statistic for the Bahamas, that I should trust them versus the Department of Statistics, but I know better because the IMF normally gets the information from the Department of Statistics.
Okay. That's well, you have no dispute for me with that, not at all.
Yeah, because if, you know, that's how it should work, that we should always have better information about our local situation than any international source, because the truth is they can really only get it from us. The only place where they don't get our information is when they are forecasting, in which case they use their own models to do it. All right. Okay. So there you have it. The idea being still, we have low levels of full vaccination, even though we are making progress with doing so. Okay. Well, Atlantis is going to let go some 700 persons. You know this, et cetera. I don't want to get into the details of that because you know what that is. But I want to get to the but behind that, right? Which is this, and that we shouldn't be surprised about. I heard somebody ask the question, say, you know, well, actually they mentioned they're not hearing anything from their, oh, do we have another call on the line?
Hello?
Another call. Yes, go ahead, caller.
Hello, Mr. Lang, how you doing?
Hey, I'm okay, thank you.
Yeah, I heard Anton, this is me, Carol, I'm calling back.
Okay.
I want you, after I finish, to decide whether who is right, on Monday, yesterday, or who is right between me and Anton. Oh.
Hold on a minute before you go on. I am not interested.
Let me update my case then.
Listen to me. Nor am I interested in your now giving me your statistics because I got the numbers from
The numbers sound something like what I was saying yesterday, Mr. Lang.
Okay.
So could I have a minute now?
Yeah.
Hello.
But I'm trying to set some rules for you, And you don't want to hear me set my rules first,
though. No. Set the rules.
Because I only wanted to say it would be very difficult for me, given where I got this information from, to accept anything from you or Antoine or anyone else for that matter.
No, I was just what the word is now, reiterating what I said yesterday. I heard the last, but 20,000 vaccines came from India as a gift. Then we got 33,000 or a couple hundred or 33,000, make it 53. Then we had another, I think 33 or more thousand, and they said on Monday this week when that vaccine arrived that made it 87,800. And I think I'm correct with that, because you said when the next pack comes now, they'll bring it with 120,000, bring it to 120,000.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Listen, I set the rule for you. You're not correct. You're wrong. You said to me yesterday, you said yesterday when I quoted from the site that said that there were 36,000 doses given, you said there was much more doses than that, but you're wrong. The person who I got the information from told me that there was approximately 40,000 doses given with one jab, and then 3,500 got the full jab. So how could that be much more than 36,000? And how do you get 80-something thousand now? I'm sorry. Okay, so don't call back here with that information, because you're wrong. If this person cannot be relied upon, God help us all. If they cannot be relied upon, God help us all. All right. Oh, man. You know, it's so easy, right, to be caught up in ego, right? Because, I mean, what matters? What really matters? Is it the facts that matter, or is it me being right that matters, right? What are the facts? Yesterday, when it was mentioned, I couldn't be definitive about anything. I couldn't say one way wrong or this person was wrong, etc., right? Because I had no facts, right? Now I have a credible source that gave me information. Now, could they be wrong? Anybody could be wrong. But if they are wrong, is all I would say. All right? And so it doesn't matter if you're right, you're wrong, I'm right, I'm wrong. What now matters is, what are the facts? And why you can try arguing against the facts? You didn't even do the count yourself. You didn't even pick up the doses yourself. You didn't even put the injection in the arms yourself. And you want to go on the chopping block for that, for your opinion? No, don't do that. All right. So I want to get behind the Atlantis matter, inclusive of someone who, you know, they said, nobody's saying anything to us. We're furloughed at these hotels, et cetera. And listen to me. Listen, Jack, I understand that to be without employment is painful. Because that is the way you get the income that allows you to pay your expenses, basic and otherwise. And so no one should understate or underestimate the extent of the pain that unemployment brings. In fact, it is well known in psychiatric circles, in economic circles, in sociological circles, how unemployment can bring a sense of indignity, a sense of failure and others to human beings. And it's not just about the money. It's about this being able to purposely apply yourself to feel useful, what have you. So there are many things about it transcend merely making money. And it is interesting. You know, I tell you all, watch and observe. Remember how many people said, oh, we only like to focus on jobs. People want babies, want to own two. Jobs. But listen to me. I guarantee you, right now, today, every unemployed person could go there and try and make their own way with a business. Everyone could do it. but they know better. They know the fundamental realities of business. And they know that that is not possible for the vast majority of people. The vast majority of Bahamians will, from hence and forevermore, require a job to meet their obligations and dignify their lives. That's the reality. And these people are not just hotel workers in the categories of work. Do you realize that a president of a university has a job? You realize that a president of a company, an oil company, a food store, general manager, they have jobs. Okay, so jobs are not just, jobs are all levels and classes. And this is how people meet their obligations. This is how they pay for their children's education. This is how they meet the lifestyle aspirations of their family, by jobs. And this false, ridiculous notion that to focus on jobs is to neglect ownership and therefore to be interested in the pride and dignity of it is absolute nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. It just misses the whole reality of how we function, not just in the Bahamas, but in the world. And so a great deal of dignity is derived from being able to go on that job and earn your way and meet your family's obligations, whether you are a man or a woman. But here is what is true, okay? A businessman, a businesswoman invested their capital, whether they've saved that money or borrowed that money or applied that money with other people, they invested that money to make money. And the only way for them to have enough customers who are paying them a sufficient price for a product or service so that they are able to make a level of profit that keeps them interested in having that business open. There's no other way for a business to make money. It has to have enough customers paying a sufficient price for a particular product or service on a consistent enough basis, cost, and make over time the profit that they seek to make to keep them motivated to continue in that business. That is true for the mom and pop operation on the corner, and it's true for Bahama, Atlantis, Sandals, Breezes, Focal, Esso, Bamboo Shack, KFC, Burger King, and all. Kalina Financial Advisors, Kalina Insurance, all on them, Fidelity, RF, all on them are in the business to sell sufficient product or services at a sufficient enough price to a sufficient enough customer base to be able to meet their expenses, including the pay and salaries of their workers, and to make a profit for the owners so that they can be and continue to want to plow their money in that direction as opposed to direct their money elsewhere. Now, we are still in a pandemic. World travel has not yet recovered. Not even close. Tourists are still not traveling at the cap they traveled at prior to the pandemic. And prior to the pandemic, the Bahamas was receiving historic levels of tourists. The world has not recovered from this pandemic because the pandemic is still in form. And the reason why people are scared to travel still is because just because you get your situation okay in one area doesn't mean it's okay in the world. And if people are traveling throughout the world and bringing and spreading the virus, then everyone is at risk. That's why the major countries are now trying to look outward to try to contain the virus so that the virus as a global phenomenon can be eliminated. If then the pandemic continues to be live, and tourists continue not to flow, it is not possible for us to have the level of economic activity take place that the companies require to remain in the level of business that they seek. And that is going to be a continuing challenge for us. Unfortunately, to the dismay and to the hurt and the pain of many. We then have to be able to think through this ourselves and understand that until you see a reasonably flowing tourist intake in the Bahamas, that the prospect of returning to anything close to normalcy for the Bahamian economy is going to be very slim. I don't want to be the bearer of that bad news, but that is true. Okay? Now you and I can lament that, oh, we are so dependent on tourism. We can lament that we are not as diversified as we need and should be. We can lament that all day, but that isn't going to change the basic fact of what we are today. Okay? What we are today is a tourist-dependent economy. And you can curse and row all the people who led before, who gave us the economy we have and who kept the economy we had and that gave you the lifestyle you live now. We can curse them all day long if we want. It won't change the basic reality that we are a tourist-dependent economy. And so good sense would now have to tell us, really, what is it that we have to now do to adjust to the realities of our present situation? It's going to change, you know. It's going to change. We're going to get a change. There's no question about that. But it ain't happening this moment. And therefore, we have got to deal with what the situation is today. What is it today? And so when I see, Atlantis or anybody doing what they do, all I see are, and this is not justify anything they do because I can't change what they do, right? I know it's a painful situation for the people who have to deal with it, but I see companies acting in ways to try and survive financially in a very difficult environment, a tough environment. And those of us who operate in this environment, who have had income tied to certain kinds of activities and who have lost those income, we know how tough that environment is. And until things change, you're probably going to see more of the same. Listen to the Z Live. I'm Shabbat Valanios. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Did you know that $5 can get you delicious combos fit for a king? Well, it can, but only at Burger King Nassau. Not only is the big in-flavor flame-grilled Whopper Jr. combo you love available for just $5, but now you can enjoy a crispy chicken junior sandwich topped with bacon plus fries and a drink for only $5 as well. At Burger King Nassau, you get to choose beef in two great combos that include fries and a drink for only $5, including that. Value has a new home at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
You work hard. Shouldn't your money be working hard too? RF Mutual Funds are designed to put your money to work with some of the best performing investment funds in the market and a range of funds to suit your unique needs and risk tolerance. So when you're hard at work, you can be confident your money is too. Put your money to work with RF Mutual Funds. Call us at 603-6000 or visit rfgroup.com to learn more. RF, money at work.
Was NBA League Pass, only with Rev Trio. Sign up for Rev Trio today and enjoy NBA League Pass absolutely free along with incredible prizes, including a brand new 50-inch smart TV, NBA gear, and more.
With tons of prizes and gear, signing up for Trio is the best on- and off-court move this year. Just call 601-8992 or visit www.rev.bs/promotions/trio.
Sign up for Rev Trio today and enjoy NBA League Pass absolutely free.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabbar Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. You can call us if you want on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Text says, good day, say Pastor Lang. When, if ever, should you use the word never? When, if ever, should you use the word never? Like, you could use it when you use it in a question like that just now. When you're asking a question, you could use it. Is it true that you can never do this? Is it true that you can never do that? So you can use it about certain things, which I think is fairly useful to logically say, like, water will never be dry. You could say that, I think. I think it's a high probability water will never be dry. You could say water will never, never not be wet. So, you know, we have a text here says, Anton is causing the PRP to lose merit. He is a, can't say that. I don't mean junior achiever. Okay. So the PRP should really get a sensible public relations person. The Minister of Health, the Honorable Ranwood Wells, should be presenting the facts, evidence, and data relating to the vaccines to the public. That is true. It really should not be an assumption on the total amount of vaccines already arrived in this country, as well as the facts about how many persons received it. I agree that 100%. Says, why is there controversy about the vaccines? Well, our Minister of Health needs to be more effective in this portfolio and his assignment. Ranwood Wells must do his due job diligently. This text says, we beg Dr. Minnis to review the housing project for the new development, because if only 250 persons can benefit from this development, we feel that the masses, we do not feel that this FNM administration is helping the majority of the poor people. Additionally, Mr. Prime Minister, please advise when the development will take effect. Give us some date, sir. This text says, a vaccine card should really be produced, should really been produced. Similar to that of an immunization card, to ensure patients follow up to take their second dose in a timely manner. Okay. This text says, Brave Davis will never be Prime Minister. But yeah, I know if I would say that. I don't know if that's a good usage of it. That was the people who say human minister will never be Prime Minister too. So one never knows. This text says, please tell me, is it true that it will take us about 5 years before you turn a profit? You mean a business? Not necessarily. Most businesses, like they say, you know, the statistics suggest, I don't know if this is true for the Bahamas, but it could rightly be true, that for 50% of businesses fail in their, second year or something like that, or within the first 5 years or something like that. And that's not true for all businesses, though. Some businesses come into good success really early. So it doesn't have to take, it all depends on the business and the circumstances in which the business finds itself. But to be sure, businesses want to make a profit. And I think, listen, I'm going to say this, and whoever get upset, that's up to them. Businesses want to make a profit. And they want to make a profit reasonable to keep them interested in the business. the owners, right? And workers want to make enough money to live. Mad with me, all right? Owners want to make a profit and workers want to make enough money to live. And so we have a society that needs to be headed in the direction of owners making enough money to stay in the business they're in and workers making enough money to want to be able to stay there and be happy living. That's the partnership. I know I talk to plenty of business people. I know plenty of business people, etc. I've no interest in that. Their interest is in keeping wages as low as they could keep them. And then when you get them in a training, the same owners, you know, same leadership, when you get them in a, you know, in a seminar and what have you, and you tell them, oh, you know, your workers should be seen as an investment, and they will even tell you, oh, our workers are our best, our most valuable assets. Nonsense. Because most, hold on, let me fix it. Too many owners don't treat their workers like their best assets because they treat their buildings, their vehicles, and their cash with more dignity than they treat their owners, their workers. And that's reality. It's reality. It's pathetic. It, one of the great challenges of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas over the last 15, 25 years is that more has gone to owners in profit than has gone to workers in improvements in their wages. And it creates a widening gap between the haves and the have-nots. It makes our Gini coefficient smaller. To the extent that we have a greater concentration of wealth in the country than is desirable. And unless we realize, unless we accept, unless the workers in the Bahamas accept that they should do everything in their power to maximize the profits of the owners, and the owners do everything to the living needs of the workers, we cannot walk together. And we'll stretch. And so all we do is we're doing what we have to do because I need this job so I can do what I have to do. And the owners, well, you know, I do what I got to do, Jack. And we get the results we get. But there's no ignoring the needs of both groups. Workers shouldn't think that all owners are greedy and ill-considerate, and I don't care if they make money or not, but workers cannot do that. By the same token, owners cannot simply think, let me do everything in my power to keep these wages from growing, keep them down so my profits could be where you, in some instances, you got to take less profit so that your workers can live. And workers have to give more time and effort and energy so that customers can be more satisfied and they can spend more for the benefit of the owners. There's no other way. And now faced with this pandemic and the realities of the great challenge it will take for us to get out of it. If we don't cooperate, it'll be a challenge. It's Texas Zhivago. I want to commend and congratulate you. You did in presenting the week of guidance to graduates. Just a reminder that you need to edit and package the information so that it is readily available, absolutely, and user-friendly for today's young people. You want them to have access to the program in their quiet moments when they need it most. Perhaps some of our title sponsors can benefit from taking their sponsorship one step further. But again, congratulations, job well done. Thank you very much. And that's what we want to do. We want to package it in a way where they don't have to sort through the information and they can have it in segments and what have you. So that's going to take something. If you're one of those editing people out there who can help us do that, I hope Dwight and those give us permission to do it. There's a Guardian shows. But we want to be able to package the stuff so that these young people just get the information by topic and listen to it in their quiet moments, as I said. You know, maybe even infuse them with a little bit of music that they could listen to their music and kind of wait, some of that music we can hear. Listen to me. If you're a parent or a guardian, if you're not a millennial, you don't know what's going on with the music in today's world with these young people, please bring a translator on Friday. Because we're going to be celebrating, them in their language. Or should I say their music? And so I sent to my son a request to send me some information, some music that is listened to by these folks and so forth. So he sent me a song, and I sent it back to him. I said, "Mom, you that?" He said, "Listen," he says, "I don't expect that an older person would understand this, but they have to have a willingness to understand it in order to understand it." Boy, you make me right up. He's right. I mean, you know, he's right. So we have to. So on Friday we're gonna listen. But y'all older people like me, don't text me talking about line, play this song or play that song. That Friday ain't your day. Friday we're gonna be playing some music for graduates and their generation. Okay. And so I'm doing my homework. But some of you might need a translator. No, ain't gonna be no cussing. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello, Mr. Lang.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Yeah, one question.
Sure.
How many vaccines are, how many doses of vaccines are in the country now?
Brother, I don't know how many are in the end of this month. 120,000 would have been secured.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Mr. Lang. But what I'm saying, that means when I said on...
No, man. Oh, man. Stop, man. Stop. Come on, man. Anyway, listen, bro, I appreciate you calling, right? And I appreciate... I don't even think like you were trying to be malicious in sharing your information. And I don't think Anton was trying to be malicious in sharing his information, right? Listen, we have some facts now. That's what matters. Because ultimately, I think that's what we want to know. What is the circumstance? And that's we've got some information about that. You can't call it about 3 times. Oh boy. Anyways, so the government has pledged to help those workers, and truthfully, right, Bahamians, taxpayer money is going to have to support a sizable part of our population for a while. Okay? Someone asked me what would happen in post-pandemic Bahamas. I think that once we get globally assured of the curtailing of the pandemic, I believe that the Bahamian economy will see a higher than usual rate of growth, right? Now, that's coming from a base now. So you have to grow back to, that's coming from a lower base than your pre-pandemic level. So that's growing to get back to your pre-pandemic levels. So that'll take a time, like a couple of years for sure, maybe less, could be, it depends. But I think that you will see because I think there's a lot of pent-up demand out there for people to vacation, to travel, et cetera. And I think the Bahamas will be the beneficiary of a great deal of that. But we have to get there. So, and so until we get there, it's gonna have to be a lot of pain in the fiscal situation to support the economy and the society. And workers and employers alike are going to see continuing periods of uncertainty. And we're gonna have to curtail our spending for those who no longer have the same level of income. Some of us are going to have to provide some support and help privately. That's just the nature of the game. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad if you could join us here today. Tomorrow is yet another show, and we got a fine one for you tomorrow. Stay tuned. God bless you. Nahaja Black is up next.